Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Corporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care. And you can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Well, if you have never heard the term State High School League, you're about to find out all about it because I know nothing about it either. But we do have one of the commissioners here, a fellow by the name of Matt Hires, who is pretty well known here in town, and he has agreed to come on today and tell us all about the State High School League.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, but before you do that, we need to know a little bit about Matt Hires because, you know, we're just growing so much every day, nobody knows who you are.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, I'm from Rock Hill. I live here with my wife, Ashley, and our two daughters, our foster parents. I work my 9-to-5. I'm privileged enough to work over at Williams and Fudge.
Okay.
As a facilities manager over there, taking care of a 140-year-old building. So if you never want to be bored, just take something like that on. I was telling y'all all about my morning and all my adventures so far today, so it's always something new. It's great, and a great group of people to work for. Work for OTS Media as well. You'll hear me a lot on Friday nights, broadcasting high school football, which kind of got me into this South Carolina High School League thing. And also run a podcast, Carolina Crimes, and it's off and running too, pal.
There's a whole other story. I'm fascinated with the number of people who are intrigued about crime.
Oh, yeah.
They just want to hear about crime.
They do.
So
they
you
do.
And your sister-in-law?
We do, yes, my sister-in-law.
You get together every week, you research crime projects, and you sit there and talk about it.
Yeah, every couple weeks, and it's only true crime exclusive to the state of South Carolina. And there's a lot of crazy in this state, so we're never going to run out of material. That's for sure.
Now, this is interesting. The numbers that you are reaching with your podcast, listen to this. How many?
About 64,000 a week.
64,000 people a week.
Yeah, all over the world.
All over the world.
All over the world, and it's incredible just to look at those stats.
Whoa.
Yes.
Is my mic on now?
Now it is. Yes.
Ashley Lang here with Manning Kimmel, and I've had the opportunity to co-host with Matt on that podcast.
So you have.
She has. She was a fill-in one time.
He pulled me in. Because the crime that we were doing was in Charleston, and that's where I grew up. And so I was able to reference some landmarks and give some geography and
it was awesome.
Just kind of weigh in. It was fun.
our resident Charleston expert.
Expert. We got a few of them in the building. They spent some time down there.
Oh, yeah.
All right. We don't want to get too far with
that. That's
Charleston.
Right.
So what the heck is the State High School League?
South Carolina High School League, they were founded in 1921. They govern high school athletics here across the state of South Carolina. It's really run by the member schools themselves. There's 223 schools.
Good Lord.
That are members and compete in the South Carolina High School League. And I'm part, I'm not a commissioner, as you said, but I'm one of the executive committee members who is kind of like the board of directors.
Kind of like a commissioner.
Well, no, we have a full-time commissioner that does a wonderful job, Dr. Jerome Singleton. And they're headquartered there in Columbia, and they do a plethora of things for promoting South Carolina high school sports, promoting safety and sportsmanship, performing rules clinics for different coaches and schools. They're the ones that schedule all these officials for these games.
Really?
Yes, sir. They deal with the eligibility of athletes. They enforce rules, and we have to listen to appeals to the executive committee. They coordinate the playoffs and championships and much more.
Jeez.
Yes.
So anything that involves sports at the high school level,
yes, sir.
You're involved with.
Yes,
it could
sir.
Be field hockey. It could be football. It could be cheerleading. Yeah. Is cheerleading in
Yeah, it? Competitive cheer. That's one. There's 14 sports sanctioned by South Carolina High School League, and we're looking at maybe branching out for some more. You know, there's new sports coming up all the time. You talk about disc golf down in the low country and over in the Lakelands around Greenwood, bass fishing. I think Clover has a bass fishing team. It's kind of it's not sanctioned yet, but I can see that coming down the pipe. I'd really welcome that.
So here we are, sitting right across the street from the world champion esports team.
Right.
Is esports something that's on your radar?
It hasn't come out yet, but I anticipate it. I anticipate that developing, yes.
How about cornhole?
No cornhole yet. Right. Cornhole, but they've got swimming, lacrosse, of course, your golf, tennis, all your individual sports, track, cross country, football, baseball, basketball, all right. Of them.
So take me through. I'm starting a brand new football season. Mm-hmm. Right. I'm Coach Nobody, and I've got a team. And what do I have to do every year? Do I have to inform you about who my players are or what my schedule?
Yes, sir. If it's a member school, you have to go through the eligibility requirements. You have to submit each student's eligibility. That's both with grade-wise. You got to talk about age-wise, their residency, where they live. And that can get a little hairy sometimes, so that's when we start hearing appeals on the executive committee.
All right, so I have to give you a roster of who's on my team.
Correct.
I may have 50 players on my team.
Correct.
And I have to give you academic credentials for all of them?
Yes, sir.
All right. So what is the criteria for academics for me to play a sport?
Oh, now for academics, I believe it's over a 2.0, and that comes from the State Department of Education.
So if I don't have a C average, what I used to call a C average.
Yes, sir.
If I don't have a 2.0 average,
yes, sir.
I can't play.
Right. You are ineligible until you get those grades up in the next semester.
All right. Let's assume that I have a 3.0 average, mm-hmm. right? And I get real deep into football, and I'm not paying enough attention to my grades, and I slide below a 2.0. Does that have to be reported to you?
Well, it will in the spring semester.
Ah, So I can.
Yeah, it goes by semester. So they're not going to pull anybody mid-season and say, hey, you're doing terribly in Miss Lang's math class. You need to sit. That's not going to happen.
Do you think that needs to happen, though?
That'd be interesting. It'd be very hard to enforce. It'd be extremely hard to enforce.
Well, I can't imagine.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, pulling grades every couple weeks, yeah, that's not feasible.
How do member schools play into, is it each individual school? Is it done per district, district ADs? How does all of that work together to report to y'all?
Now, some are the individual schools. It depends on the district. I mean, some districts, they submit everything at one time. And then you have the outliers. You have the charter schools and the private schools that are also members. The state legislative budget, the state budget proviso, it includes in there that all public charter, all private, and all traditional public schools, they have the ability to join the league. So there are several of those instances as well.
So charter schools have changed your world.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And they're interesting because basically their attendance zone and the
it's
private
everywhere.
Schools as well is the entire state of South Carolina.
Yeah, exactly.
So you have teams in those areas that kind of get a little upset about, hey, you're cherry picking this player, you're recruiting this player from my team, from my public school to go here. And that can cause for a lot of friction between those teams, and we hear a lot of appeals that way. But it affected competitive balance. And when I took this seat on the executive committee, that's really one of the things we wanted to tackle. One of the priorities was the competitive balance, because you get an area, say around Columbia, and this charter school is drawing all the good athletes in one sport.
And they're drawing them there because they're getting a better public education?
It depends on the opinion of the parents or the student.
Okay.
Sometimes it's tailored. It's a parental choice. If you want your child educated that way and want them that involved in athletics, yeah, you might consider a charter school. But they were able to draw in all these students, and they were winning state championships because they were capping their enrollment at, say, 600. So they were hanging around the 1A or 2A classification, and they were winning all these state championships. So that was something we had to address, and we did last year with a competitive balance.
So you're telling me that if I am a charter school and I've attracted a very good football player, that you're going to be looking at the impact that it's going to have on maybe a surrounding public school, and you might say, no, 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 I can't compete?
The way we did that on a fair and level basis for all member schools was each school was assigned an attendance area. Every player that came from outside of that attendance area counts times three on your enrollment as far as the high school league was concerned. So say you have 500 students, that would put you in the 2A level. If all 500 of them came without from outside of, say, for instance, 8 miles of your school, they would all count times three. So that would be 1,500, and now you're playing your Northwestern and Gaffney's.
The big boys.
Instead of your Abbeville's. And,
yes. And are you just counting the high school enrollment of said charter school, or are you doing the entire campus K through 12?
No, it's always 9 through 11 when you look at reclassification. So you take the seniors out, it's 9 through 11. That's what reclassification numbers are based on.
So how was that received when you issued that little dictum?
I think we had 25 appeals from
just,
member schools.
Just 25.
And some of them were super interesting, and there were several that actually, you know, made their case. They were asking for mercy and saying, hey, we are a charter school. We bring in all these students, but we're not competitive. And one, and it's a wonderful story, is Horse Creek High School. Never heard of it. And
where is Horse Creek?
Over in Edgefield County.
Okay.
And they're a magnet school. And they're a magnet school for special needs.
Gotcha.
And it's a fantastic campus, fantastic atmosphere. And they came and explained, yeah, you put us in 3A, and we've been in 1A, and all our total varsity sports combined, we're a 1-91. They said, but that one soccer game, boy, Katie bar the door. They said, everybody rushed the field. It was just like the Super Bowl. And they said, you know, please, we're not competitive now. We're not going to be competitive at 3A. Could you make an exception and put us back at 1A? And, of course, we did. It was unanimous. But you have instances like that.
So these attendance zones that you have created, they are like what, within a geographic distance of where the charter school is?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
What is that, 5 miles, 10 miles?
It depends on the school, and it depends on the district. And, for instance, this is just an example, like Gray Collegiate Academy in Columbia. They are zoned for the Brooklyn, Casey, and Airport High School districts.
Uh-huh.
So they're able to pull from there. But anybody outside of those districts counts times three toward their enrollment.
So they could go to that school and get enrolled.
Yes,
but
sir.
That's going to have an impact on what
classification
they're in. Classification.
Yes, sir.
All right. Okay.
So it's interesting. But we think this has been the first year of that, that being implemented. And I think it's made a difference.
So now one thing that you also do, it's not every year, it's every couple of years, is you go through a reclassification. Every 2 years.
Yes, sir.
And boy, do the schools not like that.
They don't. And it's just to reevaluate the numbers. And you look at population shifts in different centers around the state. A good example is Indian Land.
Oh, gosh.
You look 15, 16 years ago, they were a 1A school. And now they're one of the larger 5A schools in South Carolina, just due to the population and the amount of students they have enrolled there. So you got to keep a good finger on the pulse of who's living where.
All right. So with all that being said, when you reclassify these schools, they go from whatever 3A to 4A or whatever the heck it's going to be, that really changes who they're going to be playing in high school football, which could also drive up the costs for that school to operate. In other words, they may have to travel more.
We try to take that into consideration, especially when placing them in regions. Now, a lot of the rivalry games across classifications, for example, here in town, you have South Point that's 4A, And then you have Northwestern and Rock Hill that are both 5A.
Right.
I mean, they're going to be geographic rivals, so they're going to play each other across classifications. You're not locked into one classification as to who you play.
Right.
So teams and their schedules, that's really up to them. But their regions, we really try to stick geographically somewhere close and somewhere that's not going to break the bank when it comes to travel.
So it's up to the coaches to do the scheduling?
Yes, sir. Coaches and athletic directors.
So they know who they have to play within their region?
Yes, sir.
And then all the other games are ones that they can put together?
Correct.
They could be anything?
Correct. Right. I mean, you could travel down to Charleston and play Oceanside Collegiate if you want to, or you can stay here and play Clover or Fort Mill or whoever you want.
Now, another part of the equation that y'all also have to deal with, especially where charter schools are concerned, is what does the makeup look like if the student goes to a charter school and say they play basketball and charter school has the basketball program, but they also play football and charter school doesn't have football team, and then they go play at their neighborhood school. What does that look like?
That is something that we had to address as well this past year, actually last month. That in the budget proviso for the state of South Carolina, it allows them, if you go to a private or charter school that does not offer the sport you want to participate in, you are allowed to go to the school and play that sport which you're zoned for.
Huh.
So, say you live in McConnell's and you go to York Prep, they don't have football. If you want to go play your zone for, say, South Point, you can go to South Point and play.
All right, we're going to go ahead and take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders, pardon me, and by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. So here at Substation 2, well, look who's here. John Reinhart's here. We do a thing called Fresh Subs and Salads, and we do it 6 days a week between 10 in the morning and 9 o'clock at night. How we do it is the key. Why they out there should be coming in here, right? So let's tell everybody how it's done. It's in the white letters at the count of three. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
Hey, Alex, have you tried that new pastrami on rye at Substation 2?
You're darn right I have, and you should too. It's freshly sliced, lean, delicious, served hot, and piled high. And I understand you better hurry because it's a limited time offer.
Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Dr. Carrie Watson, the trauma medical director at Piedmont Medical Center, says she's very proud of what's being accomplished at Piedmont.
We are able to do robotic surgery. We are a robotic center of excellence, and that's robotic surgery for general surgery like gallbladders, hernias, colon. We also have robotic urology, so that's things like kidney removals and things with your bladder. We also have robotic neurosurgery that we're doing, and that's pretty amazing. Not a lot of places have that.
Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
It's soup weather, and Substation 2 is ready. Nothing says fall like a cup of hot, delicious soup, and we serve a rotating selection of flavors. Just call to find out what's on the menu, because we never know what we're going to feel like making that day. Soup and sandwich, what a great combo. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
When you're getting a bundle from Comporia, you're getting an all-seeing, all-knowing personal security detail. You're getting shows, and shows, and, oh yeah, more shows. You're getting a social calendar filled with family game time, game day get-togethers, and don't worry, we saved you a spot on the couch parties, because we're not just your internet company. We're your yes to all of the above company.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Matt Hires is with us today. He is not a commissioner. He's a board member. He's a representative, whatever the heck he is, on the State High School League.
Executive committee member. Yes, sir.
Executive committee member.
That sounds super important, buddy.
Golly, Dave.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm impressed. Man, that's like sitting down across from John Reinhart.
That's right.
Right?
Yes, that's right.
Founder and former president of Reinhart Realty. Almost as big, but not quite.
Yes, sir.
Executive board member. Okay.
You believe that if you want to.
So, the whole world now is, in my humble opinion, college sports has been ruined by NIL. It's being ruined by it.
Yes.
Because we don't go to college anymore for an education. We go to get a check.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And now that philosophy is working its way down to the high school level. Let's go ahead and pay these kids at the high school level to play ball here.
Right. And
so
now,
hey, what are you doing with that?
Well, we're trying to be proactive on a lot of these fronts. Like you said, you see these trends trickling down from the college game, and we've had to get out in front of that and set a priority to put firm rules in about entities not paying players for their name, image, likeness, or, you know, we're at Substation 2, if they pay a player from Rock Hill High to go stand out in front, you can't do that. And that's rules that we've had to put into place to be proactive with that, and also get in front of this transfer thing.
Uh-huh.
A lot of this is going to depend on the state and the school of choice bill that should be coming up this summer, where students can really go to whatever school they or their parents feel like. So we had to get out in front of that, and we're going to bring this up to the membership to vote on, the member schools, about allowing a one-time transfer, which if we don't do that and this school of choice bill comes forward, we're going to be inundated with thousands upon thousands of eligibility appeals.
All right, let's go back to NIL first.
Yes.
How long before you think somebody is going to file a lawsuit against you because you're keeping my boy from making $100,000, you know, at the senior high school level?
Any day now. I mean, that's how lawyers make money. And they're going to want to sue the pants off you for anything. And probably somebody's writing something up right now on me.
Well, but, I mean, that's what happened at the college level, right?
Right.
So right now your rules prohibit NIL?
Correct. They prohibit pay for play at the high school level.
All right. So it won't be long before somebody sues you.
It won't be.
And you're going to have to acquiesce and allow it. That's what's going to have to happen. If they allow it at the college level, why not at the high school level?
Well, I think dealing with minors might play a part in that as well.
Yeah,
I mean, anybody over 18.
Most seniors are 18, aren't they?
We'll see. We'll see how that pans out. I'm going to hate to, you know, go down that rabbit hole here.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the transfer thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this school of choice bill would allow somebody, let's say, from Buford High School to go to Fort Mill High School.
Correct.
If they wanted to.
Correct.
Assuming there's enough room.
Correct.
Okay. So your concern is that would be just really circumventing the whole system as you outlined it earlier.
Right.
In terms of
eligibility.
Eligibility.
And what we proposed, and again it has to go to the membership for a vote, would be to allow a one-time transfer for a student. Now, a second-time transfer, they're going to have to prove a hardship before the executive committee. And then that would be allowed, the transfer to schools, if that hardship was something feasible, if it was a legitimate or bona fide move.
So what constitutes as a hardship?
Hardship would be anything with medical, anything with familial relations. You know, a parent passes away or a parent gets moved to a new job somewhere across the state. Parents get divorced. Custody battles, you got to deal with your McKinney-Vento students as well. Put that into consideration if they have to transfer or if they're in the custody of DSS. There's a lot of mitigating factors when it comes to hardships. So we'd have to hear that on a case-by-case basis if it was the second transfer. And if this passes the membership. I keep having to throw that disclaimer out.
So what you're basically telling me is that the high school league, we would have a rather chaotic sports system if we didn't have a controlling agent like high school league.
Absolutely. And there's every once in a while there you'll see things in the news. A certain state legislator will propose that the state take over the high school league or the State Department of Education take over the high school league. And right now, the membership, the member schools are what pays for this organization to be around. I mean, in my opinion, you don't want the State Department of Education or the taxpayers to have to fund the burden of the South Carolina High School League or athletics. I mean, they should be focused on education, not scheduling wrestling referees at Allendale Fairfax on a Thursday night. I mean, that's the kind of thing. They have a staff of 13 folks in Columbia, the high school league does, that takes care of all of that right now. And it's not taxpayer-funded. It's funded by the membership schools.
But does your board report to the State Department, though? Like,
no.
Who holds you accountable?
No. It is the member schools.
Just the member schools?
Yes.
Nothing to the superintendent, the state superintendent?
Nope.
None of that?
Okay. Nothing.
I would think that a lot of the staff time of 13 people is devoted just to this referee stuff. I mean, scheduling referees for every sport?
They have a few dedicated employees, and they split the sports up. They say, all right, you take wrestling, soccer, basketball. We'll take baseball, umpires, football. And it's split amongst several staff members.
But you've got 223 schools.
Correct.
And each of them have a football team, maybe? Say half of them do.
Right. That's 110.
110 games. Schools times 10 games a year.
And then you get into the official assignments. They each have grades for how well and the calls that they make and how good they are. And then you have to.
And then you get into girls and boys and varsity and JV.
Mm, correct.
It's not just one or two teams. It could be up to six.
At our last meeting, they've even bit off a little bit more. They're talking about getting into middle school sports. And creating regions there and region championships. So this thing is ever evolving. The South Carolina High School League, it has for the last 124 years. It's served the students of South Carolina. And it's an amazing process.
So how many executive board members like you are there?
There are 17, all appointed from different entities. Like there's an officials representative that represents the referees, a school board representative that represents the school boards, private and charter schools, South Carolina Coaches Association, one from 1A, 2A, 3A, 4A, 5A, and the State Department of Education. She does have a representative named on that board.
That'd be you.
Yes.
That'd be you. Okay.
Yes.
You're not there because of OTS Media.
Well, that played a lot in it. She knew how invested I was in the success of high school sports and how important they are to me and important they are to our students.
Well, this has really been eye-opening. I had no idea the State High School League did all this.
Yes,
well,
sir.
Good for you.
Thank you.
So the member schools are paying, it depends on the size of the
school? It depends on the size and the classification. So those numbers do vary.
All right. Well, with that, we got to say goodbye. Thank you very much.
Well,
our half hour's gone right by.
Thank you. It's been an honor.
Matt Hires is his name. If you have any complaints about high school sports, call Matt. He's at Williams and Fudge. He'll listen.
324-1340.
Wrong phone number.
That's it.
No.
Nice try. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program. Live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax you with Founders. And by Caporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. One more time, everybody. What the heck we do here at Substation 2? It's in the white letters, and you should know it by now. At the count of three, for those of you who don't, here's a reminder. 1, 2, 3.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Have yourself a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.